Over the last few weeks, Pastor Joe's been talking about the limitless nature of God. So Pastor Joe, he's been talking about wisdom, prayer, faith and love. And these messages have been inspiring and challenging. Has anyone else found that? Been challenged by them? Now, I particularly was challenged by the message on faith. Joe said that faith is acting like God is telling the truth. And it made me think, am I doing that? Am I actually believing that what God says is true? So I've been thinking about it. And today I'd like to share with you some of those thoughts. So let's begin with the word faith. And it comes from the Greek word pistis. And it means to be persuaded. It means come to trust, conviction, assurance. It's truth itself. I think I've often misunderstood the word faith. I've often thought I haven't got enough of it. It's not strong enough. Or that if I work more for God, I'll get more of it. When I have felt like I don't have faith, I felt guilt and like I want to walk away. Or that I've failed in some way. I don't know about you, but since we're all human, I thought that there might be some of you who've felt the same way. So before I go any further, let's take a moment to pray and get God's presence here. And then let's talk about faith. Father God, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you that you're here because you love us, that you're here because you see us and you want to meet with us. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that as we're sitting here, as our hearts are open to receive from you, that we do indeed, we receive. Father God, I thank you that your word is truth and that we need have no fear because of who you are. Lord, I thank you that your presence is here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're talking to all of us. But I thank you that as I bring these words, that you're talking to me and that I speak words of truth today, words of life today, words that bring a shift and a change in circumstances. In the name of Jesus, amen. So my first point is that faith is a gift. Faith is a gift given by God to us when we come into relationship with him through believing in Jesus. So I'm going to read from the book of 2 Peter. But firstly, I just want to talk to you about who Peter is. So we'll come back to that scripture in a moment. So we first meet Peter in the Gospels. He's a young married man. He's a fisherman. He was fishing in the Sea of Galilee when Jesus saw him and said, "Come and follow me." Peter did, and then throughout the New Testament, we can read about his life. His life of faith was filled with peaks and troughs. He gave faith a go. Think about when he walked on the water until he sank. And then as soon as he sank, Jesus immediately rescued him. So just remember that. Jesus immediately rescued him. And he said, "Oh, man of little faith." When you read through the Gospels, it is often Peter who asks Jesus to explain what a parable means or asks questions because he doesn't understand. Now, some commentaries say that Peter was quite impulsive and strong-willed. Think about when he cut the ear of the high priest's servant or when he denied Jesus three times. Peter wanted to learn, and even though he had these momentous failings, he kept going and giving faith a go. He kept being fully persuaded about who God was. At one point, Jesus says to him, "Who do you say I am?" And in that moment, it occurs to Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had a revelation and all of a sudden understood who Jesus really was. And then from that moment, we go to the book of Acts, and it's Peter who stands up and preaches, and 3,000 are added to the church. He prays for a lame man and he's healed. He preaches again and another 5,000 are saved. And this continues. Then later in his life, he writes two letters, 1 and 2 Peter, encouraging Christians to continue in faith. So let's talk about faith and how it's a gift from God. So we'll read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. And I'm reading from the Living Bible today. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And it says, From Simon Peter, a servant and missionary of Jesus Christ. To all of you who have our kind of faith, the faith I speak of is the kind that Jesus Christ, our God and Saviour, gives to us. How precious it is, and how just and good he is to give this same faith to each of us. Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know him better and better. For as you know him better, he will give you through his great power everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares his own glory and his own goodness with us. So faith is a gift he has given to each of us. When we believed in Jesus as our Saviour, as the Son of the living God, at that point we were given a measure of faith as a gift. When we believe in Jesus, we're given this gift. We don't work for it or earn it. It's a gift. If we want more of that gift, Peter says, then there are things that we can do to build on it and have more of God and his kindness and peace in our lives. So I've thought about Peter's life, and it really does have its ups and downs. After his denial of Jesus, can you imagine the despair he would have felt, or the elation when he walked on water? So let's just look at a couple of other scriptures. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 to 32. Matthew chapter 14, 25 to 32. And it says, about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. They screamed in terror, for they thought he was a ghost. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, reassuring them. Don't be afraid, he said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water. Oh, we skipped a bit. Then Peter called to him, sir, if it is really you, tell me to come over to you walking on the water. All right, the Lord said, come along. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and rescued him. Oh, man of little faith, Jesus said, why did you doubt me? And when they had climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Jesus said to Peter, oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt? And in verse 28, if we go back a bit, it tells us why he doubted. Peter says, sir, if it's really you, tell me to come over to you walking on the water. Why did Peter doubt? Because at that moment, Peter is still wondering who Jesus really is. I imagine that when Jesus said, oh, man of little faith, it was done with such love because Jesus knows who he is and he knows what he's able to do. If only Peter hadn't have doubted. But it didn't matter because in that moment of doubt, Jesus just reached out and rescued him. So now let's turn over a couple of chapters to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. And it says, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who are the people saying I am? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, who do you think I am? And Simon Peter answered, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, God has blessed you, Simon, son of Jonah, for my Father in heaven has personally revealed this to you. This is not from any human source. You are Peter, a stone, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell shall not prevail against it. And I shall give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever doors you lock on earth shall be locked in heaven, and whatever doors you open on earth shall be open in heaven. So the thing is that when Jesus looked at Peter, he saw a rock. He saw someone who was immovable and filled with faith. He saw someone that was fully persuaded and trusting that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus looked beyond Peter's failing to the truth of who Peter was in Christ. In fact, when Peter lacked faith, when he wasn't fully convinced that Jesus was really Jesus, then there was a bit of a problem with sinking. But then at that point of seeking, Jesus overlooks that. He already saw him as a rock. So when he says, man of little faith, he's really saying, get to know who I am better, Peter. And then Jesus rescues him. It's the same with us. God is looking beyond our failings to the truth of who we are in Christ. Pastor Joe said faith is acting like God is telling the truth. So what is the truth that God is telling you? That you are redeemed, that you're free, that you are a new creation in him, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. That's who he sees you as. So over the span of his life, Peter came to understand who Jesus was and that what he said was true. His journey of faith kept developing and increasing over his whole life, and in whatever situation he found himself, he had faith that God was with him. He went from being a fisherman to the rock on which Jesus built his church. He wrote letters that down through the ages we're still reading, and they're still encouraging and changing lives. That's what the gift of faith did for Peter. So now let's just move on to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And 2 Peter 1, verse 4 says, and by that same mighty power, he has given us all the other rich and wonderful blessings he promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us his own character. He has promised that we will be more like him. As we build our relationship with him over our lifetime, our faith will grow and change and deepen, and we will become more like Jesus. So it's not about works or trying to convince God that we are good enough to have faith or that we deserve it. It's our gift. And our response to that gift is to get to know him better and better. So if you're questioning today if you have faith or if you have enough faith to get through, then think of Peter and his ups and downs and take heart. As you build your relationship with him, as you have a revelation of who God is, you'll find out how trustworthy he is, how he thinks of you with pleasure, how his promises are true for you. Then the things that cause you to lack faith, like worry and anxiety, will drop off your life, and then this gift of faith from God will flourish and grow. So let me say it another way. Your faith is linked to your belief in who Jesus is. So ask yourself, who do I say Jesus is? Peter said he was the Son of the living God. That means he is the great creator of heaven and earth. He is more than enough. Take the time to find out who he is for you in your life and in the situations that you face, and then allow that gift of faith in who he is to sustain you, rescue you, and bring you his kindness and peace. That's my first point. Faith is a gift. My second point is that faith is an action. Our journey, our walk through life, the race that we are running, is lifelong. It doesn't stop. Our need to know who he is then is constant. Partly this is because our lives are changing and we're faced with new circumstances and situations that require us to maybe know him in a new way when we're faced with those things. So we have to grow in our faith and in trusting him. So let's continue reading through 2 Peter. We're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. And I'm going to read this one from the Message translation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. And it says, so don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. Don't lose a minute in building on that gift of faith which you've been given. Complement that basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your life, No grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. A natural outworking of building our relationship with Jesus through the gift of faith is to grow in maturity and to be in service to others for him. Consider Peter. When he first met Jesus and decided to follow him, Jesus would tell him exactly what to do. For example, Jesus said, put down your net on this side of the boat. He said, come and follow me. He said, walk on the water. As Peter did those small things, he was building a relationship that even though there are ups and downs, they led to an understanding of who Jesus was. And as he came to trust Jesus more and more, his faith grew. Then in Acts, And as he came to trust Jesus more and more, his faith grew. And then in Acts, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, another step of faith. And then he preached with power and people were added to the church daily. Peter's life is a great example of how our faith in God and our trust in God grows, even when we make mistakes or fail. As we spend time with Jesus, our character changes and we become more like him. And our response to that is an action. I would say that there were many times when Peter felt that he had failed. Think of when he denied Jesus 3 times. He wept. But God never gave up on him, and God will never give up on you. The action in your life could be that the way you are in your job changes, or you're more patient with your spouse or with your children, or it could be that anger begins to drop off your life. You might become more disciplined. Or you might grow to know others more. So, I don't know if you know, but I'm married to John. And we are opposites in a lot of things. He says yes, I say no. He says up, I say down. Anyone else like that? Anyway, one way that we're opposite is that he's a night owl. And I am not so much of a night owl. So now let me just tell you that this is not anymore. We have changed and grown up a little bit. But back then, before when I thought the world revolved around me and what I wanted, before, John being a night owl and me thinking, oh, we've got a busy day tomorrow, we should go to bed, I would say, I'm going to bed, and he'd say, oh, great, I'll see you soon. And so then I'd go to bed, and then I would wait. And I'd wait. And I think, he should be coming to bed now because tomorrow's a busy day. He's got work, and I've got work, and we've got to get up. We've got to get the children ready. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And he wouldn't come. And then I'd start to get a little bit cross. So then I'd call out, John! And he'd know. So I'd be lying in bed and I would be mad and I'd be thinking all these thoughts, and then finally he'd come and I'd be so mad. I was too late now, I couldn't sleep. I had to have it out. So we would have arguments, and it could have been about anything. You said you'd be here, you said this, you said that, what about the money, what about the children? And it would go on. Now most of these arguments happened after 11 o'clock at night. And I can tell you that this is not a good time to have an argument. You're too tired to argue well. And I can say it's not going to go well. So anyway, we've had the argument, we've gone to bed, we've woken up, pretended it didn't happen, everyone's happy. And then I'd pray, Lord, you see the state of my marriage. You need to change John. It would be great if you could change him to be like me. Because then everything would be perfect. Now, I must admit, I did probably pray that sometimes, but mostly I prayed for help. Help, God, please show me what to do. And just one day, I had this sense that what the Holy Spirit was saying to me was that if I had something to say to John, say it before 9 o'clock. Now, it was a really simple thing, don't you think? I could have thought of that myself, but I couldn't think of it myself because I was too busy being in this routine. So I made a decision. I was going to act on it. I feel like I've just lost my spot. Did I say that faith is an action? Yeah. And then you're about to find out what the action is. Yeah. So the action was to make a decision. If I had to say something, I had to say it before 9 p.m. or it would have to wait until the next day. Now, this action changed everything. I found out I didn't really have that much to say after all. And the funny thing was, is that God changed me, not John. So I told you that story because it required a faith action. It required what that scripture says. It required discipline. It required patience. It required me to grow up and to mature, which I'm so grateful for, because imagine being my age and still thinking like that. So I don't know what action it is that you need to develop today, but as you talk with him and get to know him, there will be a corresponding change in your actions and the way that you live day to day. So my third point is that faith will bring transformation. And I'm going to read from the message again. We're going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. And it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. So we might be more familiar with the scripture being said like this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be transformed, we don't renew our minds just once and then it's done. We are constantly renewing our mind as we journey through life. The Bible encourages us to renew our minds, to change the way we think, to think from God's perspective and respond to what is happening around with his viewpoint. To renew our minds may take a bit of effort, but it will be worth it. So here I have some thoughts on renewing your mind. And the first one is, think about your thinking. Take some time to listen to yourself think. If your thoughts are things like, nothing ever goes my way, or in my case, he hates me, she hates, although I'm going to tell you that story in a minute, he hates me, she hates me, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, I'm hopeless at my job, or I would never get a new job, or it could be the opposite. You might think, I'm too good for this person or for this job. Then stop. So now I'm going to tell you another story. I can remember when we were first married, feeling very unhappy. Please, we actually were quite happy. But I was feeling very unhappy because I thought John must hate me. Now, I came to that conclusion because of one small incident. It happened more than once, but there were only small incidents and it was the same one every time. There was nothing else except this one thing that indicated to me that John might hate me. There wasn't a lot of evidence to back that up in any other way. There was no other evidence except for this one little thing. Now, for some reason, like most humans, we can take that small thing and we make it huge. And this is what it is. Anyway, I would like to get to places either early or on time. And so does John. But back then he had a different approach. I'll just do this job, just do that job, doing this job, getting ready, combing my hair again. Does my hair look all right? That's true, by the way. So while he's busy getting ready, and I am obviously already ready, my thought processes went something like this. What's he doing? We're going to be late. Doesn't he know we're going to be late? Maybe he wants me to be late. He wants me to be late. We're going to be late. He hates me. Very quick progression. It wasn't the truth, but it felt true. So what are you thinking about that stops you from thinking about the truth for your life? I had to stop thinking like that because it wasn't the truth. So arrest yourself. What is the truth that God is thinking about you? Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So catch your thinking this week and start to challenge yourself to think God thoughts. So my second thought about being transformed is reading and hearing the Word of God. And Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." For your faith to transform your life, you need to hear the truth from God's Word. Our own truth, my truth was that John hated me. The facts of our own lives, even though they may seem real, they can be transformed by viewing them from God's perspective. Think about Abraham. The facts were that he and Sarah were too old to have children, yet God said he'd be the father of many nations. Abraham heard the word of truth from God, and by faith his life was transformed. Or think about Peter, who God saw as a rock and that his church would be built through him, and it was. So read and hear the word of God to find out who God sees you as. So exciting news, I'm going to tell you another story. So I don't know if you know this about John and me, but we really like riding our bikes. We love going out to the hills and we love riding. Now John rides his bike for exercise and for challenging his technique and to go faster and improve his riding skills. Whereas I ride my bike for exercise, but I ride it to be out in nature. Look at that tree. Look at that flower. It's so beautiful. When I'm out there, I talk to God and I process stuff. So we have two different reasons for riding. So when I ride and I'm talking to God and thinking through things, one day he showed me that riding my bike is like journeying through life with faith. So when we're out there, and it's quite hilly in Kalamunda, so the tracks go down the side of the hill. They're not smooth. There's rocks, there's roots, there's turns, there's stuff that your bike slips through. Don't listen, Mum and Dad. I keep myself very safe. It goes downhill and it can quickly go uphill, and just as you're going uphill there's a big rock and then you've got to go around the rock or over the rock. And so it's quite challenging. It's good fun, but it's challenging. Now John, he loves the challenge of these and he goes after them. But me, on the other hand, I just like taking risks. So I ride fairly slowly with an eye on the obstacles. Oh, yep, there's a rock. And I look at the rock. Now, if it's a big rock, I'll have to get off my bike and walk around it. Some rocks, I'll be a little bit daring and I'll try and go over them. But, you know, there's always the risk. So rather than take the risk, I'll get off. Now, John, he will tell me that my bike is designed to go over the obstacles. It has back and front suspension, and its purpose is to go over obstacles. Its purpose is to negotiate those tricky tracks. Now, I understand this, but I tell them the problem, it's not my bike. The problem isn't the bike, it's my mind. I fully believe that my bike can do the job because his bike's really similar and his bike does these things, so it makes sense that my bike would as well. So the difference is not the bike, but what happens in my mind. We were taught that when we were riding to ride at least 10 metres ahead of where you are. That way, your eyes track what the track is doing and it makes a pathway. But if you're busy looking at the obstacle, you can't see ahead. Now, John, he's really great. at tracking and writing up, and then he's really great also at encouraging me. And so often we'll stop and we'll look at the obstacle and we'll unpack it. Yes, it is a rock. Yes, it is a root. Yes, it is a bit gravelly. But if you put your bike here like this and if you do that, then you'll be able to get around. Now, sometimes I believe him and I give it a go. And when that happens, I'll go, woohoo, I did it. And it's so exciting. And I scream and yippee. But other times I go, yep, I'm just not ready yet. I'm going to walk. This is like our life. Our journey through life is like a bush track. There are twists and turns, there are rocks and obstacles. My bike is like faith. It is designed to go around and over. It's designed to carry me over the bumps safely and deliver me to the end of the track. But if I don't have my eye on the end goal, I'm going to get a bit stuck. So I have to renew my mind to the truth that my faith is designed to help me get through life, through the twists and turns. So when those accusations come that you lack faith, stop. Jesus is here to rescue and help you. Fix your attention on the end of the track. Take note of those things. It's good to know that they're there, but look ahead to the end, which is Jesus. So just as the scripture says then, take your everyday life and place it before God as an offering. Fix your attention on him. Despite what's going on around you in society, on social media, in your finances, in your marriage, with your children, at work, at school, despite the big decisions you have to make, fix your attention on him and hear what he is saying through his word to you. So my final point about faith, point number four, is that faith is a rest. And I'm going to read from the Message Bible, from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. So we can all turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, for as long then as that promise of resting in him pulls us onto God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we are not disqualified. We received the promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promise with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting. So what is this state of resting? Remember that meaning of faith? It's being fully persuaded, fully trusting and fully convinced that God is. He is faithful. He is filled with grace and mercy toward us. He hears our prayers and he answers. He is always with us. When we know who God is, then we know that we're going to be all right. So whatever it is in your life, you can rest knowing that it is going to be all right. God has you. He has you. We've talked a bit about faith being a gift and coming through relationship and knowing who he is. And so an outcome of knowing who he is rest. So one of the thoughts that we can rest by is accepting that he doesn't want us to be anxious or worried. Matthew 6:33-34 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. This rest comes from seeking God first. It's about that relationship we have with him through faith in Jesus. And then Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There it is again. Pray about everything. Talk to God. It's all about being relational with him. It's in the times we meet with him that our faith, our trust and our belief in who he is and what he is able to do on our behalf, that we increase and become stronger. It's not so much about what we do, but what we relinquish to him and what he gives us. There are so many other things to say about faith, but I wanted to encourage you today that to walk in that faith that Pastor Joe was talking about a few weeks ago, it's about relationship with God through Jesus. It's through that relationship that we receive the gift of faith. We respond with an action. Then there is a change in our lives and our lives are transformed and we become more and more like him. And finally, we can rest in him, knowing and being fully convinced that we are secure in him.